about a year into this pandemic, and we want to check back in on a story we've been following, how remote work is changing cities. Millions of Americans are working from home in the pandemic, if they're lucky enough. And in surveys, many have said that they hope to continue doing so. But a new report from the consulting firm Ernst & Young describes how devastating that would be on small businesses in the area around Washington, D.C. Derek Thompson is a staff writer at The Atlantic, and he joins us now from Washington, as he does every Monday. Derek, good to speak with you.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. And can you start just by telling us more about how many people are working remotely and how many could continue to do so in the years ahead?
Based on the most recent estimates that I could find, about 40% of the workforce right now is still working from home. I should stress that that means that the majority of people in the workforce are either out of work or not working at home. So we are talking about a minority, but we're talking about a very large minority. That's tens of millions of people. And surveys suggest that about half of that 40%, you know, about 15 to 20% are still going to want to hold on to some aspect of remote work when their office reopens. For some, that'll mean they move out to the suburbs and exurbs, and they basically work entirely from their kitchens and bedrooms. For others, it will be kind of a 3-2-2 situation where they'll maybe go into the office three times a week, stay home two times a week, and then stay home, obviously, for those weekends. So there's a variety of ways this could go, but most people that I'm talking to do seem to think that remote work is going to be a big part of the labor picture for us going forward.
And you have been speaking to a lot of people over the last few months, economists, architects, demographers, business owners, and you say that there are two ways, basically, that this could go. There's a pessimistic vision for our cities and an optimistic vision. So I guess we should start with the gloomier prediction here. What do you think on the gloomy perspective? What does it mean for cities?
Yeah, I guess we can start with gloomy. So for a year, we've seen more people moving out of cities like New York, San Francisco, Boston, D.C., L.A., Chicago, than moving in. We're not talking about every city here, but these are among some of the largest and richest cities in America. And if people do leave these cities, typically some higher income people, that's going to reduce the city's subway and bus revenue, which is going to lead to service cuts. And then that's going to make these places harder to live in. So more people might leave the city. Transit revenue continues to decline, and you have this kind of vicious cycle where people, you know, are leaving, depleting the urban tax base, and that kicks off a vicious cycle for some cities. So that's really the gloomy picture here.
Transportation is a big one. I mean, we're seeing some of the cutbacks already in cities, and the question is whether or not services will return to normal or when they will. I'm also thinking, Derek, about, you know, for instance, dry cleaners. I have not personally been to a dry cleaner in a year, and I'm thinking about those workers, you know, how will people shift, or will they shift, to working into other industries?
I think this is exactly the direction of thinking that we need to put front of mind. If fewer people go into downtown urban core areas, well, that means there's going to be less work for maintenance workers. It means there's going to be less foot traffic for retail salespeople. The two most common jobs in America are still cashier and retail salesperson. What about the people waiting tables at restaurants that rely on business lunches and rely on that foot traffic? So I do think it's important to think about this systematically. What happens if people reduce their transit into downtown areas by, say, 50%? What does that do to the workforce in those downtown areas? I think this is a place where my gloomy thinking is most activated, I suppose.
But what if you were an optimist, rather?
Well, the optimistic scenario, I think, is a metaphor that I've described before, which is that of a forest fire. Cities are going through hell right now. But as with a forest fire, where you have the fire wipe out the forest, but then what grows back is often even more biodiverse and abundant than the forest that existed before the fire, we could see the same with American cities. We're seeing rents fall across a lot of urban core cities in America. Maybe that's a good thing. You know, we've had an affordability crisis in American cities for the last 10, 20 years. Maybe middle-income American families and immigrants move into these places that they couldn't afford 5 years ago, and they start this new renaissance of the American city that a lot of urban demographers have been hoping for many years. So that, I think, is the optimistic view that, yes, the cities might take a step back in terms of price levels, but that just makes it a more affordable and exciting place for lower and middle-income families to live and benefit from all the wondrous possibilities these cities have.
What do you think it might mean for office space as companies reconsider their futures?
It's really difficult to disentangle exactly what companies are planning for, because there are a lot of companies like Facebook and Amazon that seem to be talking out of two sides of their mouth, or at least seem to be saying one thing and then spending based on something else. So you have a lot of tech companies that are saying, we are embracing the remote work future. We believe that you can sort of be wherever and be productive, and we're not going to punish you for that. At the same time, Facebook and Amazon are buying up a lot of office space in Boston, in San Antonio, outside of Washington, D.C., where Amazon's second headquarters is going to be located. So on the one hand, they are saying to both the public and I presume to their own employees, yep, we believe in a future that's going to allow people to work in a distributed way. Derek, but they're also clearly investing in the future of offices.
I got to leave it there, Derek. I'm Derek Thompson at The Atlantic. Thanks so much.
Thank you.